Welcome to the Perry Johnson Registrar's Food Safety Inc. podcast, where you can expect the latest news and discussions relevant to both the food safety industry as well as cannabis and hemp. Today's episode is a previously recorded webinar. If you would like to tune in to our upcoming webinars, visit our website at www.pjrfsi.com/webinars or give us a follow on your favorite podcast app. Thank you for tuning in.
Or good morning, depending on your time zone, and welcome to today's webinar, Bridging the Gap, ISO to FSSC 22000. My name's Amy. I'm a member of the marketing team at the Perry Johnson Companies, and I'll be helping to facilitate today's webinar and offer some technical support to our speakers. And from there, we're going to jump right in and introduce our speakers today. First up, we've got Chris Reno. Chris joined PJRFSI in 2021. He has 20 years of experience in the food, beverage, and hospitality industries. He's based out of Fayetteville, Arkansas, and he holds a bachelor's degree from the University of Arkansas and is a board member of the Arkansas Association of Food Protection, as well as a committee member for the Standards Council of Canada. Welcome, Chris. Thank you for joining us, taking the time out of your day. We look forward to hearing from you.
Yeah, thanks so much, Amy. Looking forward to it.
All right, and joining us from PJR, we have Pat Lowry. Pat has almost 30 years of experience in the world of ISO certification. He's worked with the Perry Johnson Company since 1996 as a project manager, and he has clients in all sectors from small-scale manufacturing to government contractors. Pat, thanks again so much for taking the time to join us today.
Glad to be here.
All right, and we have also joining us Jacqueline Southey. Jacqueline Southey is the North American representative for FSSC, the globally recognized GFSI benchmarked food safety certification system. She's based out of Washington, D.C., and she works to build a broader understanding of how accredited FSSC 22000 certification can contribute to global harmonization in food safety, forge international compliance, and meet the needs of the public and private sectors. A native of the U.K., Jacqueline graduated with a B.Sc. in agricultural science and a PhD in animal science from the University of Nottingham and has a background in transatlantic business development. Jackie, welcome back to our webinars. We're always glad to have you and we can't wait to hear from you.
Thank you very much, Amy. And it's my pleasure to be here today and sharing the stage with Chris and with Pat. It's great to be able to work with both PJRFSI and PJR because we have this joint expertise when we're talking about FSSC 22000. So first of all, I'm going to just introduce FSSC as an ISO management system. I'm going to talk about what management systems are. There's a lot of confusion about, you know, the difference between a certification program and a management system. I'm going to talk a little bit about how ISO 22000 works in the world, and then what's the difference between ISO 22000 and FSSC 22000. Where is the difference, and what's the benefit of going from ISO 22000 to FSSC 22000? And hopefully, as we do that, it'll illustrate how much ISO 22000 is a part of FSSC 22000 and what the benefits of having that management system framework in ISO has when we start talking about the other important management systems that we're all working with today. And then also the best part, we're going to talk about the relationship of PJR and PJFSI and how we work with them. So moving forward, thank you very much, is what is an ISO standard and what is an ISO management system standard? Essentially, what it is, the management system is really a formula that is the best way of doing something. And the ISO standards have been put together through consensus. They've been written by experts in the field from all aspects of industry. So they really bring a practiced methodology of the best way of doing business in the world in which we live today. And obviously, we're all aware of the pressures that businesses today are facing. We've got increasing regulations. We've got pressures from all sides. We've got environmental concerns, sustainability concerns. And the pandemic has really brought into focus the concerns we have about our workforce. And there's an ISO management system that will help support industry in all of those areas. There's quality management standards that help us work more efficiently and reduce product failures and produce the best product to meet our customer requirements. There's environmental management standards to help reduce environmental impacts, reduce waste, and be more sustainable, what we're very concerned about now. There's the health and safety standards, which help reduce accidents in the workforce and help protect our workforce that is, we realize, is so important as we come out of the pandemic and we're gradually getting our workforce back. And there's the IT security standards that look after our energy and look after our cybersecurity, and which is also very important and coming into focus as we're all working in our own homes. And I'm also surrounded in my own home by high winds too. But we have to think about the security of the systems that we're working on. And of course, is energy management standards. And then there's our food safety standards. And that's our ISO 22000 base. And the food safety standards help prevent food from being contaminated. And that's where we all join forces. So if I could have the next slide, please. So one of the benefits of the ISO management system standards today is that they are all written on the same framework. So it's called Annex SL, and what that is, it is a common structure that is visible or is part of or is make the framework for all those ISO management system standards, including ISO 22000. And what it is, it's a common structure. It applies across all those important management systems, and it formulates that plan, do, check, act process that we talk a lot about in FSSC 22000, but is also integral to all the other management system standards. And of course, when you introduce or when you apply or incorporate any of those management system standards, you have the same benefits and efficiency that doing a management system or incorporating a management system offers. And all of them really focus on the risk and opportunities that you have to consider in all aspects, whether it's in your food safety, whether it's in your occupational health and safety, whether it's in your energy management. All companies have to think about the risk and opportunities with that context. It focuses on leadership, the importance of the management commitment to the best possible system, and also that planning and support. Excuse me. And that framework that you see on the right hand side from 1 to 10 is, you'll be familiar with, if you're familiar with FSSC 22000 and the ISO 22 framework, that same framework appears in all of the management system standards. And the importance of that will be, the relevance of that will obviously become more important and apparent as we go through the webinar today. So if I could just have the next slide. As I said, a lot of those benefits of that high level stat, of that high level framework, the high level system, is that you have this common framework that is aligns across all those functions. So it brings together the whole of the company. All the company is working on the same process, the same framework. And it uses a common language and approach. So whether you're concerned about the risk to your workforce or the risk to your products, then you're using this common language. It also helps with that recognition of risk. If you're looking at the risk of your environment to your workers, you're talking about, you're becoming more aware of that risk assessment that you can apply to your food safety management system. If you're a food safety company that's used to managing risk, you can use the same approach to protect your workforce and manage the risks that they could be exposed to. So immediately, when you start looking at the management systems applied across the company, everybody's going to benefit from having that shared awareness and that common knowledge and those the shared views coming from different parts of the company. Because they're all on the same framework, it does provide opportunities to integrate those systems and the processes and bring in more efficiencies and opportunities for integrated audits that we're going to look at also a little bit later on. And of course, whenever you're all doing the same thing and you're using the same language and you're on the same framework, it offers this increased efficiency and effectiveness. And as I mentioned before, the understanding of that management system approach, because you're all doing the same thing, you're all having the same goals, you're all having to do the same processes, and you can have shared meetings, shared languages, shared databases and everything. And then you're learning from each other with that cross-functional learning. So from my point of view, that's the theory coming from FSSC 22000. And I'm going to hand it over now to Pat, who can talk about how it works in practice.
Yeah, thanks, Jacqueline. So as a registrar, what we're looking for when we're trying to look at an integrated system is that the company set up a single set of documentation. They're going to have single management review. Their competency and training records are integrated between the standards. The way they treat their subcontractor and their supplier, that's all integrated and handled in the same way. Because ISO back in 2010 finally did formalize the structure, whereas Jackie said before, your terms and definitions are the same between standards. There's overlap. With that overlap, when it comes to practical, as far as the registrar goes, we follow MD5 when we come up with time in order to do an audit. Well, the MD5 is going to call out for, let's say, X number of days, and we can deviate if a company has integrated their system, because we're only going to be seeing one internal audit, one integrated policy and objectives, one system processes. We're going to look at the planning initiatives are going to be the same. They're all going to be on a risk-based approach. And then the health and environmental standards, there's going to be one set of compliance audits. All these things will do is we'll reduce the cost of the audit by reducing the time. A lot of times we'll be able to use one auditor who will then come in and do the entire audit instead of doing this piecemeal where you'd have your quality audit, let's say in June, and then July you're staring down the environmental and then your health and safety in December. By integrating your system, it's more effective. You can take a look at everything. You understand this, let's say talk just something basic as training. Not only they've been trained on their quality for that procedure, but what's the environmental impact and aspect, and also health and safety to make sure that they're kept safe in doing those processes. So
yeah, and Pat, if you don't mind me jumping in, I think another thing, and you sort of touched on it, but I just love the words maybe, but audit fatigue, right? How many customers we talk to on a daily basis that say, hey, I need to get this audit done, but wait, I can't have it done that week because I've got X supplier coming in, to do an internal audit of me. And then I've got another company coming in to do this. So, in my opinion, one of the biggest reasons, money, of course, is a huge motivating factor. But when you start talking about the time of the spacing out those audits and not integrating them and kind of having the piecemeal approach, it seems like your entire year, I hear back from quality teams that they feel very reactionary, that they're just constantly reacting to an audit and then reacting to non-conformances and paperwork. And they're not really given the freedom and time to go out and maybe create some new processes, improve efficiencies in certain areas, because they're just kind of going from one audit to another all year long. And that's where I think, at least in the food world, a lot of the folks that I deal with more, that's where they love the integration, because they can just get it done all in the same, week and a half, and then they're done for 12 months, and they can kind of put that off to the side.
No, I agree with what you're saying. Right. And same thing as how you look at a customer that has multiple sites. You don't want your VP of quality or whatever traveling all the time, moving from one function to the next. To do an audit when you can put it all together, then, as you said, frees up her time that she can get back to her job. And, instead of being on the road, 24/7 for a 3 month period of time. I've seen that also. So, no, you're absolutely right. Wherever we can do to reduce the stress, in the organization, it's a great thing. And integration is probably one of the best ways for us, like you said, come in once and be done, and then they can move on with their business.
Yeah, and maybe not a conversation for right now, but maybe it's something that we could talk about if someone has any questions or comments at the end, or follow up with us after. But I actually just got off the phone with a customer yesterday that was telling me that they had just recently gone through and integrated a couple of things and added the new employee health and safety standard. They were pleasantly surprised to learn that they actually took that out to their insurance company, and their insurance company recognized their integrated management system and the approach to employee health and safety, and actually saved them some money on deductibles. So the deal was essentially, you know, the work was paid for in their savings. I thought that was pretty cool, and that was kind of new to me. So that's something I definitely want to explore more of as well.
And I can give you another story, Chris, along that line. I had a customer who was an automotive supplier, so they had the quality management system in place and was being required to go environmental. Upon looking at the environmental, they were trying to figure out, well, there's an additional cost because everybody's thinking about the cost of the audit. So they put it to the quality manager to figure out some way to make this pay for itself. Well, just by looking at their paint, okay, of all things, they're going to be required to have an air permit. That's going to cost them around $10,000 because the attorney fees, you know, and the permit itself. Well, they went to their supplier and said, what can we do? And they said, we just use a paint that has lower VOC. So they did. It took it, instead of the paint drying in 2 hours, it took a day, but no big deal. It saved them $10,000 right there. Then they started looking at other things. Well, what else can we save money on? Started looking at, like lubricants. They decided they only really needed two. They needed one that was like a WD-40 and one that was like a heavy. By doing that, they eliminated 11 different lubricants they were buying from different suppliers, got it down to where they're buying it in drum size. So another cost savings because they're buying in bulk. And also then limited what was coming into the facility. So yeah, when you start looking at the integration, you will find a lot of places where you can save money, make yourself more efficient, safer. You don't want salespeople coming in, bringing in volatile chemicals, which they do as samples, and then that sample gets put on a shelf where it shouldn't be, and it could be a flammable thing. So it is interesting when you start looking at the entire process over from quality to environmental to health to energy consumption, cybersecurity. It really is a great tool for the organization to use.
Well, I'm loving this conversation, and I think that what you said, Chris, I think this is a topic for another day, to come back and actually look at all those cost savings and all those areas. When we talk about efficiencies, when we talk about, you know, cost savings, we never talk about specifics. So, you know, on our website, we do have examples of some case studies where people have taken on FSSC 22,000. So that, you know, that's an example of where they found efficiencies. But maybe you guys can get back together and talk about some of these specific examples.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm taking some notes for a future webinar.
I'm loving this. So that's great. Thank you very much. And the other thing that I really like is, and I think we're going to come back to this later on, is the language that you're using, Pat, and you're talking about a completely different industry. It's the language that we talk about in FSSC all the time. So it just shows how we really are all on the same framework. We all have the same issues. We all have to manage risks. We all have to think about our customers, and we all have to think our workers. So this is really great. I'm really enjoying being with you today. So let me just pull it back down to what I know about, and that's the 22,000 approach. And of course, we're talking about food safety, and ISO 22,000 is a very important food safety management system that is global. It's very important to many economies all over the world, and there's actually over 33,000 certificates that are issued right now. Most of them are in Asia and Western Europe and in Eastern Europe. And one of the reasons why it is so strong in Asia is because many of the companies are developing economies, and rather than develop their own legislation food safety legislation, I think we should call it, and regulations, they're actually adopting the ISO standards as their national regulations. So that means that they already have a means that's been, you know, written by expertise, and that they use that, they incorporate that into their legislation. So certainly in Asia and in India, ISO 22,000 is extremely important. And in some of those developing economies in Eastern Europe, also ISO 22,000 is very important. So around the world, as I said, mostly there's over 33,000, mostly in manufacturing, although as we'll see later, ISO 22,000 does cover the whole of the supply chain. It's very flexible. And FSSC 22,000 does account for some of those certificates, but not all of them. There's still an awful lot of ISO 22,000 certified companies out there And so we see that, you know, as a potential market. Maybe sort of PJR also have some of those customers that are ISO 22000 that don't know the difference between ISO 22000 and FSSC. So what I'm going to do now, if we can just have the next slide.
Or, you know, maybe, Jackie, some of the extra benefits, which I know we'll come to that slide a little later, but, you know, some of the extra benefits that FSSC can give them and doors that can open for them versus just the ISO 22 as well. I think maybe that's sometimes where the customers are missing out, that they don't realize, you know.
I think so. And there's, you know, there's a lack of understanding, I think, of the difference. It's not actually the same thing. But there's also a lack of understanding in some of the food community about how important ISO 22000 actually is and the benefits. So hopefully we are going to be able to go full circle today. And so as you can see, this is just really a distribution of sort of the ISO 22000 around the world and the numbers that we're talking about, developing economies in China and India. Actually, the US is quite low. It doesn't have an awful lot of ISO 22000 certificates. And I'm not sure why that is. I would be very interested to have some feedback maybe at the end of this webinar for our North American clientele. I think maybe it's sort of a lack of understanding or maybe a fear of ISO 22000. I don't know if you have any comment, Pat, about, you know, people's understanding of ISO 22000.
Well, I think, Chris, that's I think it's the GFSI. People in the United States recognize the GFSI standards more so. It's almost why go to the 22000 when, if I have an ISO-based system, it almost makes sense to go to FSSC 22000 just because the way they're structured, they're very similar. Exactly. And then others will go to whatever their customer may suggest. That's what we typically see. So not a real fault for 22000.
On the just straight food service side, you know, most of the clients I deal with, Jackie, with ISO 22000, I'm starting to see a resurgence in certain sectors that maybe don't fit real well into GFSI yet. Things like, you know, nutricides and supplements, you know, some of those fringe markets that we've always been talking about for years that don't really belong in a GFSI, you know, certificate yet. But since ISO 22 is a little bit more laxed on a couple of those things, you know, we see them going that way. So we'll see. I don't mean lax, but doesn't have those additional requirements.
Right.
So, you know, we're starting to also see the cannabis and hemp sector really dive in a little bit more so on the ISO 22000. But for most of the food clients I see in North America, you know, GFSI is such a strong push because when we're looking at the global supply chain, you know, once they finish with it at their warehouse, it's going to go somewhere, that's going to go somewhere, and it's going to end up in a big box retailer, you know, that's demanding that GFSI certificate. So we do see a lot of companies that get into the industry, into the business with ISO 22. And then after a year or so, once they get their feet wet and they really understand the big differences in market value on what they can achieve with the FSSC certification, that's when they make the move and make that transition.
All right. Well, let's have the next slide and let's talk about that then. So what is the difference between ISO 22000 and FSSC 22000? So obviously ISO 22000 is global. It's very well recognized on that global market. And it's also aligned with many of those other management systems that are becoming so important. So both, you know, as we talked about, ISO 22000 is the framework of FSSC 22000. And both ISO 22000 and FSSC have that management system approach. It's very important. We all have that Annex SL. We have those same requirements. Both, because we're based on ISO 22000, we're science-based. It is written by consensus from scientific food scientists from all over the world. And because of that, it has, you know, the world is aware of it and is confident in it. You know, it provides that trust in that food safety management approach. Within ISO 22000, it does cover the Codex HACCP, so that's part of it. Although the latest version of ISO 22000 tends to talk about risk assessment and control, there is this focus on continuous improvement because of the Plan, Do, Check, Act process that I referred to earlier. It's risk-based. You look at your context of the organization, you look at your risks and opportunities, you look at the risks to your food and to your company, and it covers the whole of the supply chain. Now, FSSC does not cover all of the supply chain, because we don't have approved prerequisite programs for all aspects of the supply chain at this time, but I'll expand on that in the next slide. And both, they're focused on how. They're not so prescriptive of some of the certification programs because they're management systems and they define a process. And so they focus on the how and not the what. So that's kind of a little bit of a difference between FSSC and ISO 22000 with some of the other programs, but it does provide that management system, the protection of that management system approach. So if we can just go to the next slide about what FSSC. So the supply chain is covered by the prerequisite programs that we specify. Certification within scope for retail and wholesale, for catering, for transport and storage, for food manufacturing, food packaging, animal feed production, and some sectors of farming. So we don't have a prerequisite program for produce at this time, but we cover the whole of the supply chain where we have approved prerequisite programs, and where they are available, we use ISO standards for the prerequisite program. So we are a wholly ISO based certification program. So if we can go on to the next slide. So just talk about FSSC. So what's the benefits of FSSC? So you talked about it, Chris, and how people will move from ISO 22000 to FSSC. The main benefit of FSSC over ISO 22000 is GFSI benchmarked. And actually the reason for FSSC 22000 coming into existence in the early 2000s, when ISO 22000 was first made available, was to provide a means of making ISO 22000 benchmarkable by the GFSI. So really the GFSI recognition is very important to us. We adhere very closely to it. We update to keep in time and in line with GFSI. And so that's the main benefit of FSSC. It is GFSI benchmark. It is a certification program choice for many of the major companies. Because it's a food safety management system, it's in line with a lot of their management system programs, or possibly were in place before GFSI was introduced. So some of those major global programs, obviously like FSSC 22000, because it aligns with their own inherent management systems and also with the other ISO management systems that they use to their benefit. Another benefit of having certification with FSSC is we have a list of certified organizations on our website. So as soon as you're FSSC certified, you are listed on our register. You're visible to industry all over the world. If you have an ISO certificate, it's very good to be able to tell people that you're ISO certified, but you're not on that public register and you're not so visible to industry. So it provides a many business to business benefits. Oh, that's a bit of a mouthful for this afternoon. So we have that B2B benefits, and you are visible. And that once you're visible, it gives you that credibility and you're recognized by many of the major companies and you're in that supply chain. And we also have a robust integrity program. We own the program. We have an integrity program where we're monitoring our CVs, such as PJR. We have a very close relationship. We constantly have a monitoring of the audits, monitoring of the CVs, and we have requirements that they have to meet. They're licensed, and once they're licensed, they have to meet certain specifications that maintains the standard, so you can be confident of FSSC certification wherever you are in the world, whether you're in North America or whether you're in Japan, you have a consistent FSSC certification. We have the specific prerequisite programs that we specify, and that we have a relationship. So FSSC itself is fairly lean. We're a non-profit foundation, and that we work with a lot of the national authorities. We work with the regulatory authorities. I have quite a close relationship with the FDA over here, making sure that we can help companies meet the requirements of FSMA. And we have representatives all over the world doing similar things to what I'm doing in North America, in India, in Asia, in India, in China, and in Japan. So we're keeping a monitor of the regulatory requirements all over the world. And in doing that, we can keep FSSC updated And we talk about this agility, and that agility is because we have the FSSE and digital requirements that meet those GFSI requirements. But whereas ISO standards are revised at intervals, they aren't so agile as we are. We can update those requirements at regular intervals to keep in line with the requirements of industry all over the world.
Which I just want to jump in here really quickly about that, Jackie. You know, I thought that the way that FSSE, when COVID first came out, you know, and there was a lot of indecisiveness and how are we going to handle this and how, you know, how are we going to audit and who's going to get extensions? You know, I thought that, again, the way that you guys were able to sort of pivot, you know, and take on that new challenge was just remarkable. You know, again, when you're talking about some of the largest companies in the world that do hold this certification, and you guys were able to really kind of step in early on and say, okay, this is the approach we're going to take, and that was communicated back to us as a CB, you know, it's just extremely helpful for us, you know, for our customers. So, you know, I don't know if I ever had much of a chance to thank you for that in the past, but, you know, thank you, because I do firmly believe that your organization is one of the quickest to adapt to new trends and challenges in the workforce and workplace.
Well, that's very good. Thank you very much for that feedback, Chris. I appreciate that. One of the reasons that we could be so agile in adjusting to the impact of COVID was really having that ISO background, you know, because there is, within the management systems, there is the need to have emergency, you know, preparedness. There is a need to have, you know, some business resilience. And also ISO already have a framework for conducting remote audits. And that was something that we could pull on. And I'm sure, Pat, you're familiar with that in other industries. You know, remote audits were already acceptable. And when we had to start pulling on that, we were able to pull on that expertise and framework. So, you know, there's many benefits. I think we have benefits from all aspects. You know, we have the benefits from that ISO background, and we have our own capacity to be agile. So if we could just go to the next slide. Yes, as I said, and I'm gonna skip on because we know we have a lot of, we could go to the next slide. Just following up before we go into the next aspect, just to talk a little bit more about that integrity program that you mentioned, that I mentioned, we work with our certification bodies very closely. It is part of our requirements, and it is a system, you know, we license them and then we monitor activities, and that's a way of ensuring sort of reliable audits and certification. And in doing that, because they are reliable and because we build up that confidence, we have seen evidence that customers, it reduces customer audits of our certified organizations. So that's one of the things that people find, that we have things, well, we thought we were having a certification program, but actually we got a business management system installed, and so they have all the benefits of that. And then they suddenly realize that their customers are noticing. It's more than just protecting the safety, it's the efficiency, it's the customer awareness, the customer focus. And then they're not bothered by so many second party audits. So there's a huge benefit to that, because although GFSI is extremely, you know, it's recognized, extremely valuable, sometimes, you know, you'll still get a lot of customer audits. So just going, I'm going to just move on. So, and to the next one. So just, I think this, we can move on as well, because I'm concerned that we've had so many great conversations that we're taking up too much time. So, what about going from ISO 22000 to FSSE? So we've talked about, you know, how it's beneficial for companies to go from ISO 22000 to achieve FSSE 22000 certification and that GFSI recognition. So this is the structure of FSSE. And so this is how WIDA is. It's a three-part certification program, which I'm sure many people are many aware of. So we have that ISO 22000, which provides that framework of the process and the management system standard that we adhere to. So if you are already ISO 22000 certified, you're well over a third of the way to becoming FSSE certified. But on top of that, you have to check that you are employing the specific prerequisite programs. And within FSSE 22000, we specify which prerequisite programs you must employ and adhere to in order to meet FSSE requirements. And then we have the additional FSSE 22,000 requirements. And within that is the requirements for our integrity program, which provides the consistency, the obligations for the certification bodies. We have demands for accreditation, so we have requirements for accreditation. And then we also have requirements for the organizations that need to be certified. And we have this agility within these additional requirements to add additional items as industry requires it. So that's what we mean about being able to revise the scheme to provide that agility and address emerging food safety issues. And that's another benefit over ISO 22000, because ISO 22000 is a great system, but it takes a long time to revise. You have to have the whole of the world to agree on that update. And
on those changes.
Right.
Yeah.
And as you're aware, I mean, the first 22000 came out in 2005. It wasn't updated until 2018. So it was working very well, but there it was a need to update it, and we have all the benefits of that update that we're working on now. So when you see FSSC sort of going from version 4.1 to version 5 to 5.1, it's because we're adding all those additional requirements that might be needed either to maintain our GFSI benchmarking or because there are emerging issues that industry is requiring, and that provides that additional to update. And that's the little extra effort that you have to put in if you want to upgrade from ISO 22000 to FSSC. So we could just go move on to the next slide. And this is a little bit about how we specify the prerequisite programs. ISO 22000 does require prerequisite programs, but it doesn't specify. So FSSC does say that you shall use those prerequisite programs, and then we list those prerequisite programs that we require. If you go into the next slide, you'll see which ones those are. So they are all ISO technical standards, and then we have the prerequisite programs for manufacturing, catering, and the aspects of the supply chain that I talked about. The prerequisites for retail is still a PAS document, but it's in the process of being updated to an ISO technical standard. And as you see, we don't have an approved prerequisite program for produce, so we are confined to using these to be active, to have scopes in these sectors of the supply chain. So that's why we talk about the prerequisite programs. So just if we just go on to the next slide, just real quickly. And so the types of things that we have in the additional requirements that we have to update, some of these, you know, may already be covered in the food safety management system of ISO 22000 as you incorporate them. But we have additional supplementary oversight for the management of services and suppliers, product labeling that has changed, awareness of allergen control, obviously the food defense and food fraud control, use of logo, again, management of allergens, environmental monitoring. Some of those which have come in from GFSI, some of those are from regional legislation, and so on. So these are the types of additional regulations that we have, the additional requirements that we have that come within FSSC 22000 additional requirements. So those are on top of the requirements for ISO 22000 and on top of the prerequisite programs that are in the technical specifications. These are in our requirements. And just as a little sideline, we also have what we call the Board of Stakeholders decisions list. So that also provides an extra layer of flexibility that if some incident arises, we were able to do that. You talked about the implementation of remote audits and our flexibility during COVID. We were able to bring in some additional adaptations, if you like, through our Board of Stakeholders decisions list, which meant that we could have some agility without having to completely redo the standard again, which, you know, it's no small thing to redo the standard, but we have that additional flexibility through the Board of Stakeholders decisions list. But we still have that very solid foundation within ISO 22000, and all these are sort of extra precautions. So I'm going to move on, and then I'm going to just to hand over, we have talked some about some of these transitional things, Chris, but obviously you as a certification body would be working with companies that can perhaps move from ISO 22000 over to FSSC.
Yeah, that's correct. So, you know, a lot of times when we are talking to customers, especially customers that are newer, that are going through some of this for the first time, you know, the first thing we always hear, you know, is how long is this going to take? And, you know, what do I need to change? And I love that conversation when I'm working with an ISO 22000 client, because I can, you know, realistically say, hey, you know, you're 85% of the way there already. You know, now let's just talk about your prerequisites and, you know, these additional GFSI requirements. But I think that sometimes people think that this is a little bit more difficult than it is. So in summarizing the transition, you know, again, like I said, it's a relatively small step for the ISO 22 certified organizations to meet those requirements. Sometimes it comes down to just document control, you know, things that they're already doing that maybe they just need to, you know, implement into their policies and procedures. You know, another thing that we can do before coming out is a gap analysis or some type of pre-certification, you know, kind of ungraded audit. So there are a lot of different ways, whether we do that in a, you know, variation of consulting and training and, you know, coming out for a pre-assessment. But it is a very easy transition. Like I said, this has been going on all over the world now, I think for about 10 years, right, Jackie? We've been seeing quite a big push, you know, moving. So a lot of the kinks that we may have seen early on, you know, those really are now ironed out. So we can, I don't want to belabor this too much and make this a sales call type of thing, but anybody that has questions on this, you know, please feel free in the chat box or after the meeting, reach out to Pat or myself, and we can go through and kind of talk about the, I like to call it a roadmap. You know, you want to get your certification done here, and this is where you are now. Let's build you out a 6 to 12 month, you know, roadmap of how we can get you there in a timely manner and incorporate things like training and, you know, some of those additional requirements along the way.
I think that's great. And there is some, you know, there will be some additional audit time. You know, we have formulas for audit time. And obviously, as you said, there's going to be some additional requirements, such as the food fraud, such as the food defense. And we have guidance to meet those on the website of FSSC 22000. So, I mean, it is a step, but it's, you know, working with the experts such as Chris and Pat would make a smooth transition from ISO 22000 to FSSC. So I think we're coming into the final leg, guys. So the next slide, yeah, I think this is something that we can all talk about. And if we can look at the next slide, next couple of slides. So we talked about this common management system structure. And we talked about, because there is such a great connection between ISO 22000 and FSSC 22000, FSSC 22000 also will integrate very easily with the other management systems. And we see the management systems for environmental control, for cybersecurity, for energy. And some of these are the benefits. So I've listed these, and I think probably we can all, we've talked about these and Pat has talked about these. So I have you got anything to add? Can you talk about how you see these benefits of, you know, having the HLS, maybe, you know, between different standards that you work with, as well as with 22,000 and, you know, 45,000, for instance. You know, we talked about the integrated audits. We've talked about this common language, the common framework. Is there anything that you would add to this and that you actually see in addition to what you've already shared with us, Pat?
Well, as you said, the ISO standards all work off the same 10 principles for the HLS. So that's easily, if you understand it for quality, you can understand it for environmental, you can understand it for health and safety and any of the others. So like I said, early on when I saw people moving away from ISO 9 into the GFSI standards, the easy one was to go to FSSC, because just what we're talking about, the HLS, it's something that you already understood. It was in place, and now just let's move it to where we're going to fit and meet the standard FSSC. So, Yeah, it's just to me, it's a no-brainer. If you're an ISO-based company, if that's what you've been doing for all these years, to move toward FSSC, to be honest.
Yeah, Chris,
Well,
what would you?
and I'm a really big fan with, clients that are looking at certification for the first time as well. I really start to talk to them about the business resiliency that comes with the high level structure and how, it's a you almost turn your business into a turnkey operation. So then when you start, looking at growth plans and you want to add new sites and you want to, look at maybe acquiring a competitor, if you get to that stage, having these things in place, you're creating yourself a manual where realistically you should be able to kind of go in and turn on the lights and you've already got everything, really how to run the business, down. So, we've heard things in the past, pre-COVID, but natural disasters. When you talk about the business resiliency and you see some of the case studies of companies that have, maybe had a flood or, ammonia leak and had to burn the building and start over, the companies that are able to bounce back and bounce back the fastest from, any sort of tragedy, if you will, always have one thing in common. They always have integrated management systems, is what I've noticed. It's really impressive to see that, something like this, while it, of course, is your day-to-day kind of guide on how to do the job and assess your documents and do all of those things, but it's also a really fantastic way to grow your business and continue to grow because you've already got everything in place and ironed out exactly how you want it to be. So it's a really great way to expand your business. So not only the large companies that are out there that maybe you're looking at adding new things to it and increasing that high level umbrella, structure to include more standards. I'm also a really big fan of, customers going in the beginning while they're, new in the industry, because it's a great way to get them started off with such a fantastic program that's only going to continue to grow with them as their business and success grows as well.
Actually, that's a good point. I hadn't mentioned that. It wasn't really in the context of today's conversation, but we do have the FSSC development program, which is kind of like a management system light. We've taken the essential elements out of ISO 22000 and the FSSC additional requirements, and it's tailored really at the small and starting out companies. And it's all listed, and we have a tool that you can kind of do a gap analysis against what you're already doing. And it is that basic first step in getting to grips with management system approach. It's not the whole of ISO 22000. You won't be able to achieve ISO 22000 with just doing it, but it will allow you to get a conformity assessment that will get you on that ladder. And for anybody that's actually interested in what the management system approach involves, I would recommend going to the website fssc22000.com and look at the development program, and then that's kind of the first awareness, and then they can come to you to talk about ISO 22000
Of
certification, or
course.
then go to the GFSI approach of FSSC. So that's a good starting point. And just going on from what Pat said, this whole ISO approach, there are other ISO standards, and again, Chris, you talked about business resilience. There is an ISO standard for business resilience. There's ISO standards for sustainability. There's ISO standards, as we talked about, cybersecurity. There's also an ISO standard based on the same framework for sort of ethical control and all sorts of management systems, that anti-bribery, the one
Anti-bribery and
that I was trying to
corruption is
think
a
about.
really
Yeah,
big one.
anti-corruption. On the edge of my tongue there, I couldn't get over my food safety. So there are, and they all fit together. And they're all aspects that all companies, need to think about. So, why reinvent the wheel, if you like, with they're already out there, experts that have encountered all these issues. So I think it's a great system. I'm very excited about it. So I think that's it for me. I'm going to hand back over to Amy, and I really enjoyed the conversation with you guys today. And let's meet back here again and let's talk about some efficiencies and there's some examples.
Yeah, certainly. Well, I know we covered a lot of information. While Amy's jumping back in, I was looking into the comments or questions. I wasn't seeing anything on my end. Amy, do we have any questions from the audience at this point?
I'm not seeing any on my end either, but I will go ahead and encourage all of our attendees, if you did have any questions or further clarifications that you were looking for on either ISO or FSSC 22000, or even regarding other integrated audits of that nature, go ahead and type those questions in, as I said before. But I'm going to really quickly go ahead and just introduce our next webinar, which is going to be on the topic of understanding the roles of recyclers in disposition plans. That's going to feature Daryl Kendall of Rios. And that's a week from today? Yes. Calendars. Dates are difficult. So I absolutely encourage everyone, free to register as always. I would love to see everyone on that one as well. But I'm going to go ahead and put all of the contact information for our panel of speakers up on the screen today. If you have any questions that you think maybe they're too sensitive or too complicated or too personal to ask on a call like this, you know, specifics of your business's happenings, feel free to reach out to any of our speakers, both at their personal emails or just at the company email in general. We're happy to get those questions to the right person. I did see a question just pop in there. This one is from Charles. Charles is wondering, what's the best advice you would give in a quality and assurance company in the automotive world looking to pivot into ISO 22000? And I don't know if you're able to see that in your questions tab.
No, I'm not seeing it. I was looking for it too, because I was going to try to read it, but I'm not seeing it on my end.
All
I'm
right.
Sorry.
Let me read it one more time off for you. What best advice would you give a quality and assurance company currently in the automotive world looking to pivot into ISO 22000?
I don't want to know. I would ask them why they would be moving into ISO 22000 from automotive. Are you going to go from producing cars to producing food?
Yeah, so Charles, if you want to offer a little more detail on that note, I did also want to bring up, this isn't a question from the audience, but I know when the four of us were all having our discussions, it was also mentioned that one of the benefits of introducing the ISO structure to food safety companies is that rather than being a prescriptive checklist like some food safety certifications, it's more of an independent, you need to look for your own risks and opportunities. Did anyone want to speak a little bit more on that point and the benefits of that?
Do you want to go there, Chris?
Well, go ahead, because I'm actually still thinking about the automotive question. I'll jump in on that next.
Yeah. So, you know, the companies are all different. They're all producing things. They're all in different ways. Their risks are all different. Their main concern is to produce safe food. And with the structure of ISO 22000, as you work through the process, you have to look at the context of your organization. You have to look at the risks and opportunities, and you have to consider on a company-wide basis what your risks are. And I mean, that different companies may have greater risks than are considered in a standard food safety certification program, or they may have less. You know, they might just be producing a smaller part, they might just be active in a smaller part of the supply chain, or they may have to take in different considerations. They may be part of the movement of new food, they might be cultured food that have to take in a whole lot of new risks, loads of opportunities, but new things to consider. And perhaps if you're just confined to, you know, the shop floor, that you don't actually have to consider all those risks. So the risks could be greater or they could be smaller. But you, the structure of the ISO management system allows you to consider all of them, and it protects the business because you're doing that. Without getting into the weeds, that's kind of the thing. So it's
okay. So I'm gonna just take a shot and do my best on the automotive question here, just because this is something
we did get a clarification from Charles. Okay. He says a business opportunity has arisen for quality assurance and food safety in addition to the existing automotive angle.
Yeah. Okay. Fantastic. Because I've seen sometimes where, some of these larger automotive manufacturing companies are now also doing restaurants, you know, food courts on staff, and are starting to look at things like catering standards, those types of things. So I didn't know if maybe that's where we were going. But yeah, as far as, you know, kind of the easiest way, you know, if I were you, I would start off with going to, you know, either reach out, you know, you can come directly to Pat or I or even Jacqueline, but the FSSC website has got a great resource section where you can actually go in and download things like internal checklists, you know, readiness assessments, things like that. So you can actually go through, and again, because FSSC is built on the ISO 22000 framework, and I know your question was more specifically for ISO 22000, but the FSSC website has got really, really detailed, great, and free information that you can go on and download some of those checklists and almost perform your own internal audit first. You know, that would be really where I would suggest, whether or not you perform it or you utilize a third-party consultant, have someone come in and actually take a look at that internal audit for you and say, okay, well, maybe these are some challenges, these are some areas we need to take a look at. You know, obviously there are going to be some differences between the way the floors are set up. I know certain things like wash stations, you know, or something that people don't think about a lot of times that have to be in certain areas for food production that may not be required in the same areas for automotive production. So you'll be able to uncover and see a lot of those things as you start kind of that down the road of that self-assessment. And then at that point, you know, reach out to us and we can kind of get started in talking about, you know, what does the timeline look like and all those sorts of things, and make sure that, you know, your team is ready from any sort of training aspect. If you need to go through Jacqueline in the FSSC organization for some auditor training, you know, we can help get you set up with that. So really the first thing is just to make the decision, you know, to go down the path and then start getting some of the free resources and just kind of gauge where you are and where you think you might need some help or have some gaps.
Excellent.
All right. Charles says thank you for the insight. And Jacqueline, I know, again, when we were discussing before in the planning for today's session, you had mentioned that FSSC themselves, you guys have plenty of webinars coming through the pipeline that might also be a good resource.
Yes, yes. And if you're interested in more, then go to the website. We have a series of insights webinars planned this year that are public for all comers. And the next one will be, you know, why and what is FSSC? And it will be going into more detail of some of the things that we've covered today, and also possibly start from basics. And it would cover some of the issues, some of the questions that Chris has just answered about how to start off in FSSC. And then later on in the year, I think the next one is going to be on food fraud. So we will be covering
that's a popular topic.
It is. And again, we have some guidance on the website. So I do suggest go to the website and have a perusal, look around. If you can't find what you're looking for, please feel free to contact me by my email address here on the screen now. I can either put you in the right direction or answer your questions myself.
Yes,
and also
absolutely.
Visit PGR's website, because absolutely, we have webinars on internal audits, how to conduct them, corrective action, that type of stuff. It's all
yeah, our resource tab as well on the PGR FSSC website. We have all of our past webinars. We also do, right, you know, YouTube videos as well as podcasts, you know, on some of these new issues. So again, you know, with the changing world that we've dealt with this last 2 years, you know, we really try to have as many platforms as possible to deliver that content. So if you're ever out looking and you're having a hard time finding what you need, you know, just type in, you know, Perry Johnson or FSSC, and more than likely you will be able to find it.
That's very helpful.
Absolutely. And if you're looking for something on our website and you can't find it, I know sometimes it can be tricky to navigate the website, absolutely feel free to reach out to any of the emails, the email addresses on the screen for PGR or FSI, and we're happy to find you the right resources. We are, it looks like, at the end of our scheduled time. I didn't see any other questions come through, but if you did have any follow-up thoughts, suggestions for future webinars, we would absolutely love to, you know, fulfill those needs for you. If you had a specific topic you are wanting more information on, feel free to reach out on that as well. But with that, I think I'm going to wrap things up. Any parting thoughts from our panel of speakers today, Jacqueline?
No, just thank you very much. I really enjoyed it. Thank you for joining us, Pat. I've learned a lot today. And Chris, it's always great to see you and to talk the issues. So thank you very much. And thank you very much to you, Amy, for keeping us straight.
I try. I do my best. All right. I'm going to say thank you all for taking the time to join us today. We hope to see you on a future webinar. And with that, I'll wish you all a happy and safe rest of your week. We'll see you next time.
Bye. Great.
Thanks so much, Amy. Thanks, Jacqueline. Pat, bye. Thank you, buddy. See you guys.
Thanks, everyone.